This is Pastor Mike Seney at the Trinity United Methodist Church of Seymour, Indiana. I welcome you to our radio ministry on this last Sunday of April. This particular radio broadcast is being sponsored by Steve and Vicki Otto. Thank you both. We begin our morning's worship with the singing of a very old hymn entitled, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. So please join me if you have the music available, and let's sing together. Now, if you have your Bible handy, you can follow along with this morning's scripture reading. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, which will then be followed by today's message. So let me read with you 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Paul writes, "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we truly can't fathom all of Your plans for us. So You ask us to place our trust in Your decisions. Lord, help us to do so, even as we learn more about Your ways. We ask in the name of Your Son, who taught us to pray in this manner, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Last week, I mentioned the first of three simple truths. Three simple truths that if you don't know God very well, this will lead you a little farther into knowing God. If you already know God well, these three simple truths can be a benefit to share with someone you'd like to introduce to your God. So last week we talked about the first of those simple truths being, God is good. This is God's character. God is good. The second simple truth that I want to talk about this morning is similar to the first. God works for good. God works for good. And again, when I say that, there will be some who would want to disagree with that idea. There are some who will look at their circumstances, will look at the good things that have happened in their lives, will look at the troubles they've had to endure, and they will create their own opinions about why these things have taken place. For instance, if they look at things that have happened that they would call good, they might attribute it to coincidences that took place. They might attribute it to fate. They might attribute it to good fortune, good luck, or some other impersonal force that has brought them something good in their lives. And then if they look at the events that they would call bad or painful, they may point their finger at God at that point. They might say that God was unaware of what was going on in their lives, that God is ignorant of what's happening, has no clue what they're dealing with, and so didn't stop these things from happening. Or if they're dealing with something bad, they might point their finger at God and say, God is uncaring, that God knew what was going to happen and yet allowed it. God seems to be ignoring me or ignoring my needs. Or during those bad times, someone might point their finger at God and say, God must be punishing me. For some reason, God is against me. God has something that I did wrong that God is trying to give me the right punishment for. But when you read Paul's letter, especially these verses I read this morning, if you want to see God's activity, you need to see through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. It's not enough to see just with your human eyes. Paul says it's the Holy Spirit that allows you to see the truth. If you ask to see through the eyes of the Spirit will help you see a divine level of reality that a human eye just can't see. A great example is from the book and then the movie called The Shack. If you're not familiar with that book, it's about a man named Mac who is given an invitation to meet God in a shack where his daughter had been murdered earlier. And when Mac meets God, Mac finds that God is in three persons. The father is actually an older woman that had earlier befriended him when he was a child. Jesus is portrayed as a young man, as you would expect. The Holy Spirit portrayed by a young woman who seems to have something of a light around her all the time, comes in and out. At one point in the book and the movie, Mac is given an invitation to see as God sees. So the four of them are standing on this hillside. Mac is looking down over this green meadow and then a tree line and forest beyond it. Everything is empty. It's just grass and trees as far as he can see with his human eyes. But the lady playing the Holy Spirit says, Mac, we'd like you to see for a little while what we see. And so she allows Mac to see what's before him through the eyes of God. He opens his eyes, and suddenly he sees not an empty meadow, but a meadow filled with lights. Lights of individuals. These shadowy figures that are lit up by different colors. It's a beautiful sight all over the meadow and into the tree line. These are people. These are people who have gone on, who are now existing as these lights in the eyes of God. Mac is amazed at what is suddenly before him. This book gives me an impression of just how things are different when we see through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives us a glimpse of a different reality, of seeing people, seeing events with a different lens, seeing what you can't see normally. I had a similar kind of experience years ago when I turned 40. That seemed to be the year that things started happening to me physically. And one of those was that for some reason, and maybe I was having a little difficulty with reading or seeing signs, that I found myself going to the Greenwood Park Mall, which wasn't far from where we lived, and I was going to the eye care center that was in the mall. Marianne and I walked through the mall to the eye care center, and I'm still wondering, do I need to have my eyes checked? Is it really that bad? So I went in, and we went through the checkup, and the doctor decided there that, yes, I definitely needed glasses. I was having problems seeing things from a distance. Things close up weren't that bad, but things in the distance were a little fuzzy. So he convinced me to start wearing my first pair of glasses. And I'm kind of wondering, you know, do I really need these or not? You know, this is a big step for me to suddenly now be wearing glasses. But we walked out of the eye care center and we started down through the mall again. And I'm looking in the distance. And I'm telling Marianne, I didn't know those things were up there. I didn't know those things had words up there. They were just fuzzy before. Wow, I can really see things clearly now. I guess I do need glasses. To me, that's kind of an experience we have with the Holy Spirit. That we think we see things, but we begin to see through the eyes of the Spirit, we start to see things with a different clarity. We begin to see God intimately involved for our good. We see God there. So if God allows us to see things that are different, what might be some of those things that we'll see different? Well, Paul tries to describe, first of all, here in 1 Corinthians, he wants us to look through the eyes of the Spirit and realize you're going to be amazed at what you see. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, these verses I read to you, you might find in your Bible a footnote that says this verse is actually a quotation or an adaption from Isaiah chapter 64. Paul knew the words of Isaiah well, and he quotes from chapter 64 where Isaiah said, "No one has ever seen, no one's ever heard, no mind has ever conceived what God is up to." Paul wants us to realize we can't imagine as human beings what God has prepared for us, what God is up to, what God is doing. It will surprise us. It will amaze us. But we know one thing, it will be good. because that's God's character. It will be good. So, for example, someone who once tolerated people or certain people because they didn't like them, they were angry with them, if they would start to look at them through the eyes of the Spirit, they might suddenly find themselves seeing someone who's beloved by God, someone valuable, someone maybe hurting too. They'll see them a little differently. Or maybe if someone once looked upon their troubles as evidence that God doesn't like them or is ignoring them, or in those troubles they become angry at God, if they would begin to look at their troubles through the eyes of the Spirit, they might suddenly realize they're actually looking at opportunities to see what God might do, how God might bring them through and make a way for them. Someone who will be pondering their past or always obsessed about what happened in their past, looking at all the pain, looking at all the mistakes they've made, feeling so guilty over what's happened. If they began to look at their past through the eyes of the Spirit, they might begin to see the many ways that God was there protecting them, that God was leading them, blessing them, forgiving them. Great example I came across was of a man named Richard. Richard lives in New York City. Richard works for a community service agency, and they're used to dealing with people coming in who are always needing some kind of help. And Richard has available to him a lot of resources that he can help or he can direct to other places that can help folks. Well, on this one morning, as Richard arrived at work, he got to work after a very heavy rainstorm during the night there. There was a lot of standing water everywhere. And as Richard got behind his desk, started his work for the day, his secretary brought to his door a young man who had come in. This young man, by the first impression, you knew that he had some needs. So Richard invited him to come in and have a seat and talk with him a while. Well, they talked together, and Richard was told by this young man that he needed food, he needed shelter. So Richard began to look for ways that the young man could get a meal and maybe have access to places that offered hot meals. Richard began to look for ways that the young man could have a place to stay that night and maybe some ongoing help to keep him housed for quite a while. So as Richard made those arrangements that the young man needed, the young man continued to open up and said, "You know what I really need right now is a new pair of shoes." He said he'd been walking in his beat up tennis shoes all night, and through the waters, his shoes were just ruined. He needed something to wear. Well, again, Richard knew there were some resources, so he mentioned there was a thrift shop not too far down the street where they had all kinds of clothing to give out or at very low price. And the young man said he'd already stopped by there before he came to Richard's office, and they were closed. They wouldn't be open for several days yet. At that moment, Richard felt a nudging by the Holy Spirit, a resource he hadn't thought about. But the Spirit reminded him he had a pair of shoes in the trunk of his car. So Richard asked the young man, "What size of shoe do you wear?" He said, "Well, I wear a 12. Richard just smiled. He knew that was the Holy Spirit nudging him, because that's what he wore. And he always carried a pair of tennis shoes in the trunk of his car. So Richard told the man, "Come with me. We'll go out to my car." So Richard took the young man out to his car in a parking area, opened the hood, pulled out these brand new size 12 tennis shoes and gave them to the young man. He expressed his gratitude over and over as he took off his beat up shoes and put these brand new ones on, nice and warm and dry. He thanked him profusely and then went on his way to get the things that he needed for the day. As Richard walked back into his office, all he could do was just give thanks to God and just marvel at how God had made that arrangement. That young man came in who had exactly the size feet he had. And the Spirit knew Richard could help him with that big thing, that need that he had. How amazing God had made that arrangement. You see, Richard was able to look through the eyes of the Spirit and see that that wasn't just a coincidence. That wasn't just good luck. He knew that God was opening his eyes to what he needed to see. A miracle in Richard's mind. The Spirit that opens our eyes to see God's activities also reveals the depths of God. In verse 10 that I read, Paul writes that the Spirit even allows us to see the deep things of God. When I read that verse, my thought is that not only does the Spirit allow us to see what God is doing, but the Spirit also allows us to see deeper, to perceive why God is doing those things. When we begin to understand why, we come to know the heart of God better. As we look at God's activities and we wonder, is this the reason? Is this why God is doing this? When you have the eyes of the Spirit to look through and you begin to look deeper, you start asking those questions. You look at God's activities around you and you begin to ask, is this why God chose to do this? So that this might happen. You begin to ask questions like, did this happen so that this person might be helped? Or this situation take place? You begin to ask questions like, did this event happen for my benefit? You might also ask, did this event happen for others? Will it help them? I think today of those thousands of people who have survived their bout with the coronavirus, and now they've been asked to give plasma. The thinking today is that from that plasma, several other people could benefit and maybe be able to fight off that virus. Someone who's looking through the eyes of the Spirit and who survived the virus might ask the question, Lord, is this the reason I survived? So that now I can help other people? Is this the reason you gave me this challenge in the first place? To have this virus and then to survive it so that I could be of benefit to others. You see, as we start to see the heart of God, as we begin to see God's purposes in all that God is doing, that's when we find it very easy to give God credit, to give God thanks for these amazing things that are happening and the amazing reasons why. You see, without the eyes of the Spirit, we can be blind to God's activities. Or we could just give some misguided reasons or some guesses as to why things are happening. But with the eyes of the Spirit, you begin to see God working for good. God always for us, always caring, always guiding us. When you begin to see with the eyes of the Spirit, you'll be amazed by the activity of God, by the decisions God chooses to make. And you'll never stop being surprised by God's goodness. And what I think is the best thing of all is that when you are seeing through the eyes of the Spirit, you come to know the heart of God better. You come to know God's purposes. You come to know God better than ever. Friends, are you ready to see what perhaps you've been missing? Are you ready to know this good God better than you ever have before? Paul would tell us, ask for the eyes of the Spirit to see what's happening around you, to see what God is doing in your life. And you'll not only see what God is up to, you'll begin to understand why. You'll begin to grow closer to this good God who loves you and works for your good. Let us come to God in prayer. Lord, we hear your invitation to not just look upon our lives with human eyes and make guesses as to why things happen the way they do. But Lord, you've invited us to see this life through your eyes, through the eyes of your Spirit. Lord, allow us to accept that invitation, to see what we've been missing, to see with more clarity than ever before our good God at work, and to begin to understand who you are more than we ever have before. Open our eyes with the eyes of your Spirit and continue to show us the marvelous things you're doing, the things that are so amazing we can't imagine. And keep teaching us who you are and how you are at work in our lives. Thank you, good God, for all that you're doing and all yet to be. And we give you praise and honor for all that you choose to do in us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. We'll close our worship today with the singing of This Is My Father's World. It reminds us to see God's touch on every day. If you have a copy of that song, please join me wherever you are in the singing of this great truth.
Sir.